how do leaders make these judgments about giving second chances or, I don't want to say bending the rules, but I guess I have to be totally candid, tearing up that accident report, bending the rules, right?
It was, and you know that question can be debated, but here's my take on it. I think a lot of people can do a good job by flying under the radar and doing what they need to be doing. I think in particular situations, and I guess I was guilty of this all the time, but I didn't mind taking chances. I didn't mind operating in the gray area. Rules are very good. Policies are written for a reason, and I respect those, and I follow those. I tried to do everything in an honest, upfront, transparent way. But you get into particular cultures, and you get into particular situations. Sometimes you have to do things different. And in that particular case, because I was on scene, there was not a policy book that says this is the perfect way to do it. There's not a leadership guidebook or a manual that says do it this way every single time by the letter, or you will be in trouble. So in that particular case, I could read that center. Words cannot describe what kind of condition it was, which is very unusual for UPS. It was a, as I said in the book, it was a lion's den. It was a code of silence. It's a very strong union town. The mentality there is different than anything I'd ever seen. And there's ways that I felt that we could turn that situation around, because you have very loud, tough, mean local people, and if you could ever get them on side, they influence almost everybody. And that was the situation in that condition. And when I had the opportunity to terminate Rich, who was because we kind of had everybody sort of coming back on our side. They understood. We got to know them. There was relationships being built. But Rich was still the king. He was still the bad guy. He talked the loudest and the most. And when he came in my office, virtually in tears, knowing that I had him, and I went out and looked at the car, and it was minimum, I could make a decision based on my discretion. If I picked up the policy book at that moment, Dan says, okay, here's the rule, I probably should have terminated him. If I would have done that, and with his power, and being the shop steward, there was a chance he probably could have beat us in an arbitration or a hearing, maybe. That would have even made it worse. So I took a chance, and I gave him another chance. And it, as the book says, it turned the center around radically. He became like our informal supervisor. He became like my best friend. I saved his job, saved his career, and he knew I didn't have to do that. So what came back because of that decision was just overwhelming. That center went from terrible to one of the best.
What kind of counsel or advice would you give leaders on making the decision? Should I give a second chance or hold their feet to the fire? Should I allow it to slide, or should I, you know, hold the line?
I would say in most cases you hold the line. I think if there's opportunity and you have the authority with some flexibility to jump into those gray areas, that you should listen to your heart and you should do what's right. If there's any doubt, then ask somebody above you or somebody, one of your colleagues, and bounce it off of them, buy some time, make a decision together. If there's any doubt that this could head for trouble, it might be a good time to call your legal counsel or somebody in a higher level and let them make the decision, or make the decision together and go forward. But, you know, it's a big puzzle. There's every little situation up to big situations. And the reason managers become managers and the reason leaders become leaders is because they should have that balance on how to make the right decisions and have the experience. And you know, if there's doubt, ask somebody else. That would be my viewpoint on it. I can't clearly say, you know, in every single case do this or every single case do that or every single case follow the rules. Because, quite frankly, I don't believe that's the best way to manage.
Right, right. Especially in the gray areas, right? So we're talking about gray areas. If you make hard and fast rules about gray areas, they're no longer gray. They can be confusing.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I think for a lot of managers and leaders and primarily beginners, it's easy just to follow the rules. It's easy, I don't want to get too crazy here, but it's easy to be a boss. It's this way because the book says so. And I think the worst thing that I ever heard or I didn't allow, and I was taught this early in my career, is don't go out on the lines and say, you've got to do it this way, or I want to talk to you or discipline you because the policy book says so, or because the people upstairs says so. You do it because this is the best way to do it, the right way to do it. And you take that on your own self, and the buck stops with you, and you explain the reasons why you want them to change or something like that. But a lot of times I see managers go out and say, okay, you know, I'm your good guy, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal, and I really don't believe what you're saying. You send them a signal, I really don't believe in it, but because the people upstairs or higher ups or the policy book or something like that says, I got to do it, it's got to be done this way, you instantly lose respect, and people see right through that.